Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. How are you? We're live in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue here until 5 a.m. Triple Play Thursday. Get your requests in now. One artist, three songs. 312-981-7200. You can also follow us on Twitter at Nick D Show. Best way to stay connected is on our Facebook page at facebook.com/Nick D Show. Coming up, we're going to be talking about and playing back some Oscar speeches and Oscar blunders from shows past leading into Oscar weekend. We'll also have a celebrity name game coming up as well. 312-981-7200 for talking text. Triple Play Thursday as well. Our next guest is a regular on the show. I've been a friend of the show for many, many, many years. Richard Larmer. Been in the PR business for a long time, is the author of many great books. You can check out rlmpr.com, rlmpr.com. And we like to get Richard's thoughts on all things entertainment, pop culture related. Lots of stuff happening in the news right now, lots of stuff happening in entertainment. We want to get Richard's take on some of it, and we welcome Richard back to the show. Richard, how are you?
Hey, Nick. Great. It's nice to be back.
Yeah, great to have you back. Give everybody a little background. Tell everybody a little background in case they don't know you, and you got great books and all kinds of cool stuff.
Sure. Well, I started as a journalist. I did a lot of work for the New York Times and for USA Today. And the last 25 years, I've been running a PR firm both in New York and L.A., technology, entertainment, things like that. I'm the author of a whole bunch of business books, Full Frontal PR and Punk Marketing, which, seems to be everybody's favorite. And, I'm a pop culture junkie from way back when. And, I follow this stuff like it was, part of my DNA.
Right. And we always like to get your take on it. You've been in the business for such a long time, and you always have a unique point of view. So welcome back to the show, Richard Larmer.
Great.
All right. So we got a lot
Where
to talk about.
Start?
Let's start with Black Panther. It's the story right now. And it's the biggest movie. It's making so much money. It's culturally, it's a very significant film. In a different way, and as you'll remember, Richard, last year at this time, the story was Get Out, which was another film made by African Americans and made on it. But that one was made on a shoestring budget that kind of came out of nowhere and captured the zeitgeist like not a lot of movies have. And now, a year later, a massively big budgeted Marvel comic book movie has done the same and even more. I think it's an amazing story.
Well, I think that Marvel itself is an amazing story. When you think about all the things that happened with Marvel and Sony when Sony was making the Spider-Man movies, and Marvel offered all the characters to Sony for $25 million, and Sony said no one cares about your characters and passed on it.
Yeah,
and so the fact that Marvel has is now one of the most successful filmmaking studios of its type really does show what a little perseverance and obviously some luck, but also knowing what people want, and this is what people want. And Black Panther, it's so funny. It's like new people had to come out to see it because A, it was a good movie, but B, it actually stood for something, especially these days.
Yeah.
It stood for something that people really want to, to say, look, it's about time that there was an action hero who was African American, who, and all the characters were, African American, and, that they sort of lived in a world that, I guess I couldn't imagine 10 years ago a movie like this being made, but today it seems like it's super crucial for a movie like this not only to be made but to be successful, and I think a lot of people feel that way.
Yeah, and I think it's also it's a movie that this is not a movie that you can just easily dismiss as just like some comic book movie, because it's not. It's much more than that, and it means a lot more to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's funny. I was thinking last night about Michael Moore making the Fahrenheit movie and how people really wanted to make a statement. And so not only did they come out and see the documentary, it was during the Bush years and people seemed to be angry about that. A lot of people who were supporting it actually bought tickets and didn't even go because they wanted to make a statement. And I think that happened with Black Panther, too. A lot of people wanted to make that first weekend an unbelievable success and bought tickets, but maybe didn't go.
Yeah.
And then went another time.
I wouldn't be surprised if that happened. And I know that, in addition to that, I know that there's going to be, and has been already, many repeat viewings. Like people,
yes,
people seeing it at least two or three times. And I mean, the numbers are mind-boggling that this movie is made. I mean,
they are mind-boggling.
I've been talking about for the end of the year and into this year, every time I talk about box office, and I talk about the top 10 box office on my show every Monday morning, we do the wrap up for the weekend. The big story was Jumanji and how huge Jumanji was, and was in the top five and back to number one a bunch of times throughout the holiday season and into the new year. And in 10 days, Black Panther made $37 million more dollars than the total amount of money that Jumanji made. And that's stunning.
Wow. And I was thinking also, the big question is, what do you think will happen with Black Panther and the Oscars next year?
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. I mean, there were two, I think, in the movie world of 2017, the two big stories, I think, were Get Out and Wonder Woman. And the amount of money that Wonder Woman made was astonishing, and what that movie meant culturally for women and for girls is the same thing that's happening now with this movie culturally for African Americans. And if they continue to make these significant, culturally smart movies in the comic book genre, we could see some really terrific stuff in the years going down.
Well, it's interesting because this Wonder Woman obviously made a lot of money, but it was also an excellent story, and it was well directed, and et cetera, et cetera. And, the fact that it got ignored by the Academy was, plus of the course, I guess. But you're right. It was a cultural moment. And with the Me Too movement and everything happening all of last year, it sort of fit perfectly into what people were thinking. And it was the timing of that movie couldn't have been better.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. And it was and this thing is just it's the story of the movie year so far. There's no question about it. And the theater I saw it, I saw it on a Saturday afternoon, its opening weekend, a Saturday afternoon. There wasn't an empty seat in the house, and it was packed. It was at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on a Saturday on its opening weekend. Not one empty seat in the house. And we went to one of those really cool AMC Dolby theaters that has the insanely beautiful sound and the great imaging, and it was a terrific experience, and everybody in that theater was on board for the movie. Everybody was.
Well, the other story about that is the director, who has done he has made some amazing sort of smallish movies. And now, of course, he's an A-list. He's an A-list director, and he can do whatever he wants.
Yeah.
I'm very curious to see what he does next.
Well, I think he's a great director. I loved Creed. I thought Creed was a great film, and a worthy follow up to the Rocky franchise. And I think it's the second best of all the Rocky movies. And I loved Fruitvale Station.
Fruitvale Station was amazing. Yeah. Absolutely. As a cinematic adventure, it was incredible. I was really taken aback. I'm a big Michael B. Jordan
Me
fan,
too.
So I thought he was extraordinary in it.
Yeah, and this combination, this working combination, they've made three films together, and their next one is going to be together as well. I think this is like DiCaprio Scorsese or De Niro Scorsese level. I think it's that good. I think the combination of this director and this actor is magic.
The Hollywood Reporter referred to him as, we now have to call him Michael A. Jordan.
There you go. I've loved that guy. I vividly remember thinking he was just amazing when he was a kid, when he was in The Wire. I just thought he was magnificent on The Wire. So
yeah, that was a great role for him. And people saw terrific things happening for him.
Yeah.
He did all those TV roles after that. And he's excellent. And I think that it's going to be interesting to see his follow-up, Coog's follow-up, and what happens. I was also thinking that, Wonder Woman could end up being one of the top grossing movies ever.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, it
extraordinary.
I remember the weeks after it opened, going to the movie theater, the multiplex, and for the weeks after it opened, seeing, you know, going to see other movies, and yet seeing little girls and teenage girls just running through the hallways of the theater with their Wonder Woman t-shirts or costumes on. And it just was like, it was really inspiring. Wow. It was really nice to see these little girls, you know, being so excited about this superhero and what it meant to them. It was fun to see over the past summer.
Yeah, no, the whole, it's really funny, the Wonder Woman thing, because, you know, they took a chance on an actress that few people really knew, and they, you know, they really, you know, they took some risks with that, and also with the director, that, you know, she was experienced, but she didn't have that kind of experience.
Right.
And I think that risk really paid off. But I still tip my hat to Marvel, because, you know, they tried to give all that stuff away years ago because they thought they couldn't do it. And there's a great lesson in that, you know, that, you know, in the end, you often have to do these things yourself.
Yeah.
To make them successful.
Yeah. Yeah. And then they're one of the most successful studios out there right now. It's incredible. Mm-hmm. All right, Richard, hang on. Okay.
Sure.
All right. Richard Larmer is with us. He's our PR guy. He's been around for many years and always has an interesting take on the world of entertainment and pop culture. You check out his website and all his books are there. RLMPR.com. RLMPR.com. All right. We'll take a break. We get the news coming up next and then more with Richard right after this. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue here till 5 a.m. as we are every weekday morning. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5 and the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive in this Thursday morning. Triple play Thursday, so get your requests in right now. One artist, three songs. Get them in. We'll play them later. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. You can also follow us on Twitter at Nick D Show. Best way to stay connected is on our Facebook page at facebook.com/Nick D Show. Coming up, we're going to be talking about and playing back some of the weirdest moments from the Oscars, speech-wise and otherwise. And we've got a celebrity name game as well. Right now, our old friend Richard Larmer is with us. His website is rlmpr.com. We want to get his take on what's happening in the world of pop culture and entertainment and all that cool stuff. Richard, welcome back.
Thank you very much. You know, I live in New York, obviously, yeah. And I was walking around my neighborhood, which is Murray Hill on the east side, and I noticed that all of the movie theaters that were here are gone. I mean, there were single play, non-multiplex movie theaters all over this neighborhood 20 years ago, I remember. And they're all like banks and churches and Burger Kings now.
Yeah.
And it's so strange. It's like all of a sudden I realized they took them all away.
Yeah, no, it's the truth, Richard. It's been happening here. It's happening everywhere. And we used to have some wonderful and beautifully designed movie palaces in neighborhoods like that you could walk
right
to. It's not a multiplex and all that. We only have like two or three left here in the city, and everything else is multiplexes in the city or in the suburbs.
Well, I think the Ziegfeld here on 54th Street is now shutting down, and I know that the Lincoln Plaza shut down recently, and I'm realizing that New York, which is, you know, a movie capital, may not have a single standing soloplex movie theater ever. I mean, it just won't be one here, and I just think, you know, from a place like, you know, where people actually go to the movies, you know, every day, not just on weekends,
right,
you know, as part of the culture here, it was just a stunning thought. You know, just walking around going, where's the Murray Hill Theater? Where's
right
the, you know, where's the Lowe's Theater? Where's the, you know, where, you know, I was looking up and I saw this giant church and I thought, I saw Blade Runner here.
You know, I have to ask you, Richard, did you watch The Deuce on HBO?
I certainly did.
Yeah, okay, because we're talking about New York and we're talking about what used to be. I thought it was pretty, mm-hmm. I thought it was pretty ballsy and really great. And I thought the recreation of early 70s Times Square was amazing and spot on, from the recreation of the buildings and the theaters and all that to the tone, to the costumes, just, you know, great stuff.
Well, they, HBO's, they spent a lot of money on that show, and I was just glad that it wasn't vinyl again.
Yeah.
Because vinyl, if you remember, that was just awful. I mean, I was at some of those adventurous evenings at the Ritz and places like that, and they got it all wrong, and it was just ridiculous, and the dialogue was terrible. And Deuce was fun, and it was scary, and they did recreate 42nd Street and the whole sort of porn thing. I mean, those were in those days, you know, when the porn theaters were there, there were also the regular movie theaters where you could go see, you know, like four Bruce Willis movies on a Saturday afternoon for $5.
Right, Bruce Lee. Bruce Lee, you mean.
Bruce Lee, yeah, yeah. Sorry about that. Did I say Bruce Willis?
You did.
Sorry about that. Oh, my God. See, that's a Freudian slip.
Yeah, it is.
You'd watch these movies, and people would throw things at the screen and heckle, and it was so much fun. And you know, so yes, and of course there were the porn houses and the rest of that. But I, you know, I did think that Deuce did an amazing job of showing people what that, you know, 70s period in New York was like. It's just pre-Disneyfying,
yeah.
42nd Street. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and it was really great stuff. Hey, speaking of HBO, have you watched Crashing with Pete Holmes?
I love Crashing with Pete Holmes. I absolutely love that show. I'm the only person I know that watches that.
Yeah, I watch it. I got it. Richard, the episode with Artie Lang was one of the most stunning pieces of television I've seen all year, and just
it was amazing.
It was unbelievable, and the fact that Artie was so open to it, and you know, and he let Apatow write that episode, which was based so much on his life and his struggles. I thought it was a stunning piece of work.
Yeah, I thought they were. I was really shocked at the direction they went in for that.
Yeah,
and I think that Pete Holmes is one of those sort of under the radar, you know, comedian types who really has a great deal of acting chops. And, you know, I think people, you know, will come to that show eventually, and because I know it just got renewed for a third season.
Oh, good.
So I know that it's not going anywhere. Yeah, they did. HBO did announce that they were keeping it on. You know, it's not one of their big hits, but he's great. And Artie is phenomenal in that show. He is phenomenal.
Yeah. And I like that double bill on Sunday nights. I think Divorce is good too. And I think Divorce, you know, the Sarah Jessica Parker or Thomas Hayden Church show has become a really, really nice showcase for Molly Shannon. I think Molly Shannon is doing some really terrific work on that show.
Well, I like the creators of Divorce. I think that they did a great job putting it together. I have to say, though, as somebody who's watched a lot of TV in his life, that I think that Sarah Jessica Parker may just be not right for that part.
Yeah.
I just feel like she's still playing Carrie Bradshaw.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny, but you can't tell her that because she executive produces the show. So
I know. But it's Sharon Horgan, right?
Yes.
Sharon Horgan. Yeah. And so she's brilliant. She is an absolute, you know, she did Catastrophe, which is one of my favorite shows.
Yeah.
And she has a great sense of, she's a terrific writer. And you know, you can't get rid of Sarah Jessica Parker ever.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
On anything.
Yeah. It's true. It's very, very true.
You know, but yes, it is a great 1-2 punch, the two shows, and HBO is very smart to do programs like that now, as opposed to just doing, you know, all these big budget, you know, sort of Game of Thrones-y type shows that only last for a certain amount of time.
Right.
So yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right.
All right, before we get to the Oscars, we haven't talked since the Golden Globes. How did you feel about the Golden Globes? How did you feel about Seth Meyers and obviously Oprah's speech and just the whole Me Too movement and how that showed up on that night?
I felt that Seth was a little too serious as a host, in the sense that, you know, this is supposed to be the fun drunk night when everybody gets, you know, plastered and makes funny speeches. I remember the Gina Davis winning for Commander in Chief and sort of, you know, being tipsy and getting up there and sort of having a great time. And I just felt like Seth really wanted to make points, you know, about the Me Too movement and about, you know, Time's Up. And I feel like nights like this should be celebrations and not lectures. Mm-hmm. So I got that. I got an impression from that. I don't think he was. I don't think he was sort of in tune with what was going on in the world besides, you know, Harvey Weinstein and things like that.
Right.
And you know, but the show itself was, you know, it was fun. I mean, Oprah really, you know, stood up and, man, you know, she had something to say and she said it.
Yes, so, she did. And I was really watching her. She was on Kimmel the other night, Jimmy Kimmel.
Yes.
And I watched the watched it, and he was like, she said that as soon as she walked off stage, everybody was telling her that she was trending, and everybody was already talking about her running for president, and she was right. She was like, I'm not running for president, and all that stuff, and I thought that was pretty funny that it literally, she's 30 seconds off the stage and they're already trending that she should run for president.
Yeah, because actually it's Gayle King that's going to be running for president. So they got it wrong.
With Oprah's full support, Sheila, yeah.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean I enjoyed the Golden Globes, and I'm a massive fan of Three Billboards, and I know that movie's getting, you know, there's some backlash against it for several reasons, and I'm not quite sure I understand why, because I think it's an extraordinary movie. But I have to say, you know, I am so thrilled for Sam Rockwell, because this is a guy.
Me too.
He's a guy who's been kicking around for over 20 years, consistently great in every movie he does, little indies, whatever it is, he's great in it. And the fact that he's getting this long deserved recognition makes me very happy, because I just think he is phenomenal.
He is phenomenal. I mean, I remember the Chuck Barris movie and watching him and thinking, oh, my God, where did this guy come from?
Yeah.
And, you know, yes, I absolutely agree. And there is a backlash, and the backlash is has a lot to do with Frances McDormand's constant sort of just a little too lectury, you know, a little too she's always wagging her finger when she talks about the movie and about things that are going on in her own career.
Yeah.
I think that has a lot to do with it. I mean, she needs to lighten up a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
I really believe that.
Yeah. There's also, like, you know, there are people I think are kind of offended because, you know, this Irish guy has written and directed this movie where he's making, he's making massive statements about what he thinks America is. And a lot of people are saying, you don't know America the way you think you know America. And this is not a very accurate view of America, when in fact, I think it is. But
well, historically, it's always taken foreigners to come here and tell us over the years what's wrong and right about our country. And so for people to say that McDonough, who's one of the most brilliant playwrights ever, you know, can't do some research and really find out what's wrong with us. It's particularly now when things are, you know, this is the craziest time I can remember. And I'm not even saying that with a smile on my face.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think he makes statements that are uncomfortable for people, and that's good. That's a good thing.
I agree.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah. I think it will win Best Picture. I think Shape of Water is a fantastic movie, but I think for the times, I think that the Billboards movie will win.
Yeah, it's interesting. We'll talk about that in the next segment when we cover the Oscars.
Sure.
But I did want to mention that Martin McDonagh, who, you know, is a massively talented playwright, and his theater background is unprecedented and great. And for those people who have not seen In Bruges, I just want to once again remind people.
Yeah, Bruges is a great movie.
It's
wow.
Such a great movie. And yeah, so but it's his time right now, which is good, but also bad because he didn't get a director nomination, which I just
yeah I know weird. I know. Well, they had to give, you know, there were politics involved in that, and you know, it had a lot to do with Lady Bird, and you know, if they hadn't nominated Gerwig, I think that the Oscars would have been boycotted. So.
Yeah, that's true. You're right. Okay, hang on a second, Richard. Okay.
Sure.
All right, Richard Larmer is with us, and he is at rlmpr.com, been a friend of the show for many, many years, and been in the PR business for a long time, and always has a unique take on the world of pop culture and entertainment. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about the Oscars, and we'll get his thoughts on that and what to look forward to on Sunday night's broadcast. All right, 312-981-7200 for Talk, Text, and Triple Play Thursday requests, and we shall return right after this. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. How are you? It is a Thursday morning, Triple Play Thursday, one artist, three songs. Get your requests in now. We'll play them later. 312-981-7200. And, yeah, it is WGN here, and Richard Larmer is our guest. You can check out rlmpr.com to check out his website and all of his books and all that cool stuff. We always get his take on entertainment and all kinds of cool stuff. Richard, welcome back to the show.
I have one question.
Yeah.
Who is Mary J. Blige's publicist? Give that person a raise.
Yes.
I mean, oh, my God. Not that she didn't deserve an Oscar nomination, but nobody gets one for their first at-bat.
Yeah.
I mean, very few.
Yeah.
Especially people that have been not known for being at all, even in her videos, for being an actress.
You know, the director of Mudbound was on, I can't remember, one of the talk shows, one of the late-night talk shows, and said that she brought the script to Mary J. Blige, who at first said, no, I'm not qualified to do this. And then when she showed up on set, finally said yes, you know, she had all kinds of makeup on. And the director said, you got to take all of that off. Like, there's no wigs,
wow,
no makeup, none
wow
of that. And Mary J. Blige had a hard time, had a very hard time doing that because it's, you know, security for her. And so she'd she'd never looked like that in any way, shape, or form. And that actually got her into character, the Dee Reeves director said. So
that's amazing. Well, I have to say, and the fact that she's performing at the Oscars, too, that's got to be a first.
Yeah. Yeah. Like the best supporting actress nominee is going to perform the song. I mean, it's, you know,
You know, after she, and if she wins, it'll be a very interesting moment.
Yeah. I don't think she's got it. I think it's Allison Janney all the way in that.
Oh, of course. I mean, Allison Janney. Of course. I mean, that's like a lifetime achievement award.
Right. It is. It's weird because I love Allison Janney. I love her and everything. I think she's great. And I love her in I, Tonya, which I wish would have gotten a picture nomination because I think it's a great movie.
Yeah, me too.
And as much as I love her, I got to say I'm really sort of disappointed that Laurie Metcalf's performance isn't going to get an award.
I know.
It just any other year. And her, you know, she's Steppenwolf. She's Chicago. She's a class act. And that performance in Lady Bird is spectacular, you know?
Well, you know, the other thing, of course, is that, you know, Metcalf is that close to an EGOT, right? The Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, Tony phenomenon. And
yeah,
if she were to win, that would be her, you know, she'd be in that small collection of people that win everything.
Yeah.
And I would have thought that would be fun. But, yes, I don't think it's her year. Unfortunately, I don't. And she was phenomenal. I did enjoy, I think I enjoyed her performance the most in that movie.
Yeah. It's interesting. Really? Somebody wrote an article, and I can't remember who. Somebody posted on social media, and I looked at it, and it was somebody had wrote this article, and this is stunning to me, Richard, and I think you're going to feel the same way. The article was basically, wow, Laurie Metcalf had range. Who knew?
Like, where, oh, no.
Yeah, serious. I'm not kidding. Somebody wrote an article about, I mean, basically probably had only seen her on Roseanne and wrote this article about how, wow, she really proved that she has range. Where'd that come from? Like, what are you talking about?
Oh, my God. I mean, I have seen her in so many plays over the years.
Yeah.
I mean, I mean, she was in New York particularly. She's been a standard. I mean, you know, you want to. She's in an Albee play right now,
yeah.
And you know this woman never stops working. And the funny thing is, seeing her on Roseanne again is hilarious.
Yeah.
Because look at how far she went from there.
Yeah.
So it's almost like this. It's not even a word when it comes to her.
It's funny because like I saw that somebody posted this article, and of course I had to read the comments, and everybody ripped this author to, you know, ripped this author apart. Like, where the hell have you been? Are you kidding me with this?
I think you may be talking about a New York Times article.
It might have been in the New York Times. It might have been.
Yeah,
I just
because
was...
I remember a New York Times article last week that said Laurie Metcalf has finally come into her own, and I thought, really, finally, would she won, you know, Tonys and Emmys, and
one of the most respected actresses on the planet. So,
right.
Oh, now, what are you thinking about the Oscars? Now, I'm curious as to you know, because Kimmel did such a great job, but I mean that screw up last year. How many jokes do you think they're going to make about wrong envelopes?
Well, you know, the fact of the matter is that was a really dumb thing, and how it happened is what made it so hilarious. I mean, the fact the guy was tweeting and he didn't check the envelope because he was so busy tweeting a picture of himself with another, you know, with a star. I mean, that's so like these times. No, I think it's going to be that. What I'm curious about is whether Kimmel will cry.
Yeah, he seems to cry, and you know what? It's sincere, though. I know it is.
Yeah. I know, it totally is.
Yeah, I mean, I really
not the same Kimmel. He's not the same Kimmel as he was last year.
No, he's you know, the thing about Jimmy Kimmel is this. You know, this rise in importance and popularity that he's had over the course of the Trump administration. Is really kind of amazing, considering that, you know, I remember when he was win Ben Stein's money and you know, watching watching women drinking beers while watching women jumping up and down on a trampoline. And that's as far as you can get from what he's known for now. Richard, always a pleasure, and we'll check back with you soon, okay?
Good. That's great. I'm really glad we talked.
Okay, take care, Richard. There you go. Richard Larmer, great friend of the show. RLMPR.com is his website where he has all these great books. He's been in the business a long time. It's always great to talk this kind of stuff with Mr. Larmer. All right, we'll take a break. We got the news coming up next here on 720 WGN.